right back to Rodgers.
And
the time. Slowly a second. And a grass cutter. And that'll end the inning.
The same night. Wow.
0-2. Goodbye. Three pitches, struck him out. Pitch, Ryan Helsley to Austin Slater. He struck him out. Call. Here it comes from Helsley. He struck him out on the inside corner.
A little bit more aggressive. Here, maybe not as much, even though.
Wow. That's what I wanted.
That's, you asked for it.
Then reshape their bullpen when you look at their acquisitions. Tyler Rogers from the Giants, the submariner, really a two-seam slider type of pitcher, one of the best ground ball pitchers in the sport. It pitches in the seventh and eighth inning in a different look for Carlos Mendoza at the back end of that bullpen. And then you add from the Cardinals one of the elite closers, Ryan Helsley, who has an elite fastball and a real electric fastball, averages 99.3 miles per hour. Has a wipeout slider as well. Hitters are hitting 092 against the slider. He'll throw that almost 50% of the time. And so when you look at the combination of those two guys leading up to Edwin Diaz, and you add Gregory Soto, who they acquired a couple of days ago, that bullpen got better in a hurry. This is a postseason bullpen and one that is all in from the Mets front office.
It's another edition of the Talking Mets podcast here on this Wednesday night, July the 30th, 2025. Of course, I'm your host, Mike Silva. You can check me out all the time at thetalkingmetspodcast.com. You get me on X at TalkingMetsNoG and on your favorite podcasting service, Apple, Spotify, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to interact with me, Mike Silva at TalkingMetsPodcast.com, NoG. Mike Silva at TalkingMetsPodcast.com. You can get me on Instagram, TalkingMetsNoG. And don't forget the newsletter, Substack.com/@TalkingMetsNoG. And I want to thank the good folks from the Fansided Podcasting Network for supporting this show. Welcome to another edition of the Talking Mets Podcast. You probably are asking, why am I coming to you here on Wednesday night? Why is Mike doing an emergency podcast? Well, I thought it would be a good time. I have with us on the line, just waiting, former Met, member of the 1969 World Championship team, Art Shamsky. Art has a book out, and we're going to chat about Art's book. We're going to remember the 69 Mets. We're going to talk a little bit about Mets history. I thought we could share some Gil Hodges stories. I'm joking, guys. If you've tuned out, joke's on you. And, of course, the title of the show gave it away. But anyway, look. No April Fools here. Of course, I'm coming to you. This is one of those rare moments where the actual game, which was a really annoying game and an annoying series against San Diego, gets put into the back burner. Not something that we're going to talk about tonight, but the Mets pull off in the matter of just 5 or 6 hours, two huge bullpen additions. And, the Mets go from, and one of the biggest criticisms I've had all year was this porous bullpen, a bullpen that, with their performance, specifically Oscar Brazenbaum on Monday night, ruined what could have been a really good road trip, has gone from leaky. How are you going to get 12 outs a night? How are you going to get 6 to 9 outs, the bridge to Diaz? Hold your breath on Buto, hold your breath on Garrett, hold your breath on Stanek, hold your breath on Brazenbaum. Well, now, and, we don't know what the future, it looks like Clay Holmes right now has, not had any plans of moving out of the rotation, but the Mets now not have one, but two, but three of the top 30 relievers in baseball out of that bullpen since 2021, and two of the top 10 closers in the sport over the last couple of years, as the Mets acquired Tyler Rogers from the Giants for Buto, Headlining that, Drew Gilbert, Blade Tidwell, and then, of course, Ryan Helsey for three prospects. Ernie Dove, our good friend Ernie Dird, Jesus Baez, one of his favorite, Nate Dom, and a lower-level pitcher. What has been described as a heist by the prospect gurus like Keith Law, but we'll get to that. But if you weren't sold on the Mets being all in, and I got to be honest with you, I always thought they were going to acquire relievers, but I did not think they would pay the price for someone like Rogers. I did not think that they would be shopping in the closer or the second closer market, although we talked about Helsley over on Sunday's show. That was something that we were a little ahead of the curve with Helsley over there. And, the Mets have talked about being all in. So what does this mean? You know, there's a lot of, on the fly here. You know, I like to kind of marinate on things and think about it and say, okay, let me give a measured approach. But you can't do that during the trade deadline. But what was funny is, so the Mets make, during the game, the Mets make the Tyler Rogers move. And that was actually, the initial reaction was a lot worse than the Helsley move, even though the Helsley move is a better prospect package. So they make the move. I was shocked at the cost. And I've always said, it's not just the price of beef. It's not just a carton of eggs. It's not just the cost of an automobile. Inflation has hit in a big way. It wasn't that long ago where the Mets had one of the better closers on the market in Jerry's Familia. But because he was a free agent, you kept hearing, well, they can't get anything, the Mets, because, well, they have to pick up the salary, which the Wilpons never wanted to do if you want a better prospect. But in general, you have to accept whatever you can get for a rental. And that's not the case anymore. The Mets just acquired two rentals, gave up two, if you go to MLB.com, of their top 15 prospects for them. They gave up a major league pitcher. And actually, if you put Drew Gilbert, three of their top 15 prospects. Actually, and Blade Tidwell arguably might be there too. He's probably a little bit lower down the list. But, they gave up four quality prospects. It also reminds me a little bit of what the Padres did just a year ago with Tanner Scott and Jason Adams when they brought in some bullpen help. This is very A.J. Preller-esque that the Mets are doing. Now, you're going to see a different reaction by the media on this. They're going to criticize. They're going to say the Mets overpaid. Stearns is desperate. Blah, 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 blah. And I'll get to the mechanics of what I think Stearns is doing here, because you have to look at this more forward than just in a vacuum. But let's face it. The league knew the Mets had a bad bullpen. It's no secret. If I'm sitting here looking at it that way and you're looking at it that way, the league knew the Mets had a bad bullpen. They knew they had leverage. And they weren't sure, and I personally wasn't sure, if Stearns would just continue to do what he did a year ago, which is go out and get another Phil Maton, another Ryan Stanek, maybe get another version of Oscar Brazenban, who has a good arm, and bring him in. And that would have been something I was, based on what Stern said a week ago, would have put a lot of money down on. Now, he did say earlier in the week that if there was a big arm with upside, they'd be in on it. Now, I don't know if his tune changed because, things changed from when he had the first conversation when they were playing Anaheim and they were coming off the bad weekend against Cincinnati and they had played bad baseball for a month. Was he playing a little coy with the media? Was he using the media to kind of, as part of his negotiations? Which, by the way, and I have to give the Yankees credit, I don't know how Cashman does it, how they have been linked to every big name for an organization that outside, and the only one that's been honest about them is Andy Martino, who's talked about being on the margins here with supplemental type acquisitions, how they've hyped up Yankees prospects, how they've tried to pawn off some of their, top 10 to 15 to 18, 20 prospects is better than they are, how the media has linked them to every big name when there's really no indication they're in on it. I got to give Cashman credit how he's done this. It's amazing. And the Mets haven't had that success. And truthfully, Stearns is a guy that from the start doesn't lie to you, like I said, during press conferences. But he also doesn't leak. The Mets are not leakers pretty much since Cohen took over. So you didn't really get any kind of inkling that Rogers came out of the blue. I mean, it's possible, like I said, the Mets play the Giants this week, and they pretty much put the Giants in a, maybe they do a hybrid buy-sell. Maybe that's what they're doing with this deal. And I said, could they come and walk away with a bullpen piece? And they did a couple of days later, but they did. They left the West Coast with a piece. Helsley was an idea I had on Sunday because I just said, look, he's not controllable, so he's a free agent, so the prospect cap will be less. Clearly, looking at what the Phillies gave up with Yoan Duran, the Mets would have to look at a Carson Benge. They'd have to look at a Brandon Sproat for a similar type of deal. To be quite honest, and I haven't watched a ton of Duran, I mean, he's a good arm. I don't think he's exponentially better than Helsley. I think they're pretty much the same. I think that in unless you're looking to set yourself up like the Phillies are to have a closer for the next couple of years, I think Dombrowski, in the sense, sees the Phillies window closing and he knows he only has a couple of years to go for it. So, hey, let's set up, make this tournament team the best version of a tournament team they can. So that's a different situation. They're in a different situation. You know, the Mets now, they may have, this bullpen. They're going to have the three big pieces are going to be free agents, potentially with Diaz opting out. But that's a conversation for another day. So, the Mets right now have put together a bullpen, arguably the best in the history of their team. I mean, think about it. The best bullpen in my lifetime. Okay, there's a couple. You have the late 90s, 99, 2000 bullpen. Benitez, Franco, two closers. You had Dennis Cook. You had Turk Wendell. Guys like that. Rick White. I mean, that was a good bullpen. That was a solid bullpen. And Franco, as a setup guy, and Benitez, for all his warts, was an elite closer. He spit the bit in a big spot. That was his issue. He was kerosene on the fire, against certain teams. And when the lights got very bright, you had concerns about him. But, he was a really good closer for the Mets for a period of time. You have the 2006 bullpen with Billy Wagner and Aaron Holloman and Guillermo Motto and Duaner Sanchez, who were interchangeable, and Pedro Feliciano and Chad Bradford. And Tyler Rogers, actually, with that sidearm, underarm, is like a Terry Leach, Chad Bradford, Dan Quisenberry. I mean, I think that's what Hernandez was comparing it to when they were doing the game this weekend in San Francisco. And one of the things, and our good friend from Gotham Baseball, Mark Healy, used to talk about this all the time. I remember when I used to do shows with him at the old Mickey Mantle's restaurant, about how he liked how bullpens that came with different types of pitchers and different types of arm angles. Now, the Mets have, with Diaz and Helsley and Rogers, guys with elite, stuff, elite sliders, things like that. I'm trying to bring up Rogers here. If you look at Rogers' stuff here, he's a sinker slider guy. I mean, when you look at Stuff Plus on Fangraphs, Helsley and Rogers are right there at the top. I think I posted something from Eno Saris there that, we talked out, that he put out there. I mean, that, this is a guy that, even this year when he's been shaky, Helsley, they're slugging 154 against his slider. They're 092 batting average against slider. Where he gets troubles with his fastball, that's a different story. So that slider is where, you don't want him throwing fastballs behind in the count to big hitters there. You don't want him doing that to Bryce Harper, something like that. But, you look at this bullpen now, you have two closers, you have an underrated, quiet acquisition that I think, nobody was thinking about in Rogers that could be, they're a really good setup man here. You still had pieces that are there. Reed Garrett and Ryan Stanek, I think, get pushed down more into a, sixth inning role behind, maybe come in earlier than expected. You've got the two lefties, the Gregory Soto and Brooks Raley. So you have that covered. Rogers, for a submariner, is not one of those where he can't get lefties out. He's actually quite good at that. Helsley actually has struggled against lefties this year. We talked about that. That's a little uncharacteristic for him, so I don't know what's going on there. Maybe they'll look a little bit more into that. And I look for his career again. That's never really been an issue for his career. So that could be an anomaly. It could be a small sample size that, caused an issue. But, the Mets now have done what I didn't expect, really go all in. It's been a long time since they've been an all-in team. And quite honestly, I don't remember the last time they've had the confidence that they could go all in, throw in all their prospects, and not fear losing the players the following year, because they could sign anybody they want. That's part of, bringing guys who are on their walk year. You have the confidence you could sign anybody you want. They have the confidence they could draft and develop anybody that they want. A lot of these guys were acquired before that they gave away before Stearns came in. That could play into it. I also think you have to factor in, and what nobody's talking about, because truthfully, if you told me before the deadline, hey, you're getting Tyler Rogers, and the names Buto, Gilbert, and Tidwell are in the conversation, I'm like, all right, they could have one of them. They could have which one they want. Not all three, but that's the cost. I mean, we'll find out when Stearns talks to the media, whenever that is, we'll find out more about that. But it's possible they weren't looking to trade him. It was possible that there was competition for his services. You don't know. And, you know, the Mets are looking at their 40-man roster. Gilbert had to be added. Who knows what Buto and Tidwell really, as time goes on, their role on the team will be. They have other kids they're going to have to add to the 40-man that they want to protect on the Rule 5. The Mets system has been, you know, no marketing, no BS. The system has been talked about as being deeper and better. So it's possible that they're going to have to add some guys to the 40-man this winter in order not to lose them in the minor league or the major league side. So there's a lot of different things going on here that, you know, come into play from the standpoint of, well, why do the Mets do this? Well, if they need the player, and this is what it takes to get the player, none of the quantity they gave up for Rogers is going to be, you know, the pitching, you know, version of, you know, of Darren O'Day. Or, you know, everybody, I heard somebody say, a good friend of mine says, oh my God, did they give up the next Pete Crow Armstrong and Drew Gilbert? I don't think so. And you also got to look at the Mets in this situation. They might very well be on the verge of acquiring Luis Robert Jr. If that's the case, he's going to be around here a couple of years. So where's Gilbert going to play? And you got Carson Bench, who's tearing it up in Binghamton. And, you know, from what it sounds like, is it untouchable? I mean, from what I've understand, from what I've gathered, just reading and talking to the few people that I do know, is Jonah Tong and Carson Bench are pretty much untouchable. So I think they know who they want to keep. And then they obviously have the lottery tickets of some sorts. And they're going to say, look, these guys, they could come back to haunt us. We got to keep these guys. We'll be able to replace the guys we trade. And if we get burnt by some of these guys, so be it. Look, if Blade Tidwell becomes a good setup man, oh well. If Drew Gilbert becomes, you know, some kind of version of Melvin Mora, oh well. I mean, it happens. I mean, you want to win. These are the things that the Dodgers do. The Padres did it. AJ Preller does this stuff all the time, giving up prospects. Look at what he gave up for Soto, and he didn't win that year. He beat the Mets. And Soto wasn't even that great. I mean, think of what they could have done with that. I mean, this is not the kind of package the Mets gave up. Now, there's a lot more deadline here to play. We're still a little less than 24 hours away. Rumors have it that the Mets are looking to get offense. They're looking to maybe get a center fielder. And after the last couple of days in San Diego, you know, they kind of need it. And I don't know if that's bigger than Luis Robert Jr. I don't know where they would go for offense unless they are not sold on the baby Mets and Mauricio at third. I mean, center field is really the only DH, maybe. Are they kind of finally waving the white flag on Beatty? Or, you know, I think you keep hearing it seems like Acuna is going to go to Chicago in any kind of Luis Robert Jr. deal. Is Vientos and his performance in San Diego, you know, making him a more valuable chip? I mean, it'll be really interesting what they do because you do have some duplication. And think about that, too, with what they gave up. You know, I hear, you know, Keith Law says about Elsley, that giving up Baez and Dome is a heist. Well, Baez is a corner infielder. A couple of years away, you have Mauricio, you have Beatty, you have Vientos. Where's he going to play? I'm not saying just give these guys up. I'm not saying that. But where's he going to play? So sometimes you have to look at it from a bigger perspective. Do I like giving up all this prospect capital for impending free agent relievers? No. Do I wish the Mets were able to develop relievers so they didn't have to do this? Yes. But this is where they are. And now the Mets, with these three guys, and Soto and Raley, and I don't even talk about Stanek and Garrett, because I think those are the guys that you pitch more when you're behind to keep the game close. The Mets have shortened this game quite a bit. In a postseason situation, You better have a lead after the sixth inning. I mean, this is almost like Nelson, Stanton, Rivera. I mean, that's how the Yankees won a championship in 2000. Everybody talks about Rivera, and that's true. And Rivera would go two innings. But remember something. The Yankees starting pitching that year at times struggled, you know. I mean, Denny Nagel was struggling and got a start in the World Series against the Mets. And I know I'm going back, but they only needed five innings or so from him because, you know, David Cone as well. Because you had all these guys coming out of the pen. You had Graham Lloyd and Stanton and Nelson. And but even before you got to Mariano. And I'm not comparing any of these guys to Mariano. I'm not saying that. I'm just giving you context of how you build a bullpen. And I've been saying, and I think Stearns is a smart guy. And if I'm saying it, Stearns is I'm not as smart as Stearns. I'm not sitting in the GM chair. You win a championship, and your championships are won or lost in the eighth and ninth inning, particularly the ninth inning. They're not won or lost in the first or second inning. For the most part, your starters are going to get you to fifth or sixth inning, three runs, two runs against a good team. You'll probably scratch off a couple of runs against their guy. These games are won in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning. Go back to last year's postseason. Milwaukee series, the deciding game, won in the ninth inning. Philadelphia, Mets, game one win. Won late. They lost game two late because Diaz couldn't get big outs and because the bullpen flamed out. They won the deciding game against the Phillies late with a Lindor grand slam and getting big outs down the stretch. Dodgers. They had to win games in that series. That was harder because their starting pitching couldn't get them to the bullpen. But let's face it, you sweat it out. You know, the one game where they needed the bullpen, which was the game five, you sweated that one out because it was like slow pitch softball there. They had to score a ton of runs. So Stearns knows this, and now he's put himself in a really good probabilistic chance of winning in those innings, of shutting the opposition down, of teams maybe managing differently. So this is huge. Now, can this blow up in their face? Well, they get knocked out in the, let's say they don't win the division, they're a wild card team, they get knocked out 3 days in October, and, you know, you go and you lose Helsley to free agency. I mean, maybe they could offer these, you know, they traded in midseason, so you can't even really offer them the option. So you're going to, you know, they're going to own a free agency. So, you know, this is a risk. This is definitely a risk. But to me, it's a risk worth taking, and I don't think any of this prospect capital is so egregious for what they're getting back in a competitive situation. You know, you're telling me that paying for a guy like Helsley, who's going to be a free agent, and what they gave up in Baez and Dome and a lower level, not ranked, by the way, pitcher, is worse than Yoan Duran and the Phillies giving up one of their better starting prospects and a good offensive top prospect. Imagine if it was Brandon Sproat and Carson Benj for Duran. How would you feel about that right now? And is Duran that much better than Helsley? No, of course not. I mean, this is the price of doing business. So, you know, to me, it's a chance to be excited. The Mets, who I thought were going to go the Phil Maton route. No, they do much better than Phil Maton. They go Tyler Rogers. Now, I know his brother got traded as well. And what's interesting is that I like his brother. And I thought for a while, there was always rumors that the Mets were going to be looking at him. And if you remember, Taylor Rogers, his brother, who is left-handed, and it was actually acquired by David Stearns when he was still with Milwaukee in 2022, and he had some struggles there. It would be, imagine, you know, just at some point get both of them. Maybe, I'm trying to see, is he a free agent? Is his brother a free agent? And I'm going to look at that real quick. Yeah, his brother's a free agent. All right, so maybe you go out and sign both of them this offseason. You re-sign Tyler, and you get Taylor, and then I could be totally confused about who's who, other than the fact that one's lefty, one's righty. So there's that. So, you know, what's next? What do I see next? I think there's so much smoke around the Luis Robert Jr. scenario that, as I'm doing this show, and who knows by the time this gets out to you if things have changed. You know, and things like that. You know, there's so much smoke there. I'm refreshing, you know, Twitter as we speak, you know, to see if something changes. And that's one of the things about doing these shows. You just never know how quickly they go stale. You know, and well, the Yankees are looking for relievers. That's what Martino tweets out. All right, there you go. But when you're running out Rodgers, Helsley, Diaz, 7-8-9, and then you got the lefties kind of, you know, going out there, that's an exciting thing. I mean, the only thing us to really do when it comes to is, you know, as I look at this, it looks like they don't have as much traction on the offensive side. But again, it sounds like Vientos and or Acuna were discussed for Luis Robert Jr. And look at him, elite glove in center, hits left-handed pitching, something the Mets could use. You know, it's been a couple of years. Yeah, he's had injuries. Yeah, he's had underperformance. He's the kind of candidate that, you know, maybe you steal him and he becomes, for the next couple of years, the star that he was in 2023. So we'll see. But this is a good day to be a Mets fan. Don't get caught up on prospects too much. They're lottery tickets. Look at the struggles of Vientos this year. Look at how Mauricio got injured. Look at Alvarez, the up and down. You know, the sport is littered with players, you know, that never made it. Look at Diego Cartaya, former top Dodgers catching prospect, being released, no man's land. Joey Bart, San Francisco, look, now he's meandering with the Pirates, trying to find his role as a component player in the league. You don't know. You only get so many chances to win a division. And I'll leave you guys with this, why maybe the Mets are looking at going for it, and something that's not talked about. The Mets maybe aren't the Phillies, and maybe Cohen is telling Stearns, hey, I want to win. I promised a championship in 5 years. I want to put my money where my mouth is. I don't want to be that owner that says one thing, and then when push comes to shove, I get cold feet, and I lose an opportunity, and I kick myself in the offseason. If only I'd done this. But if you look at the Mets' key players, Brandon Nimmo is 32 years old. Lindor is 31 years old. Pete Alonso is 30 years old. Now, Soto's young. He's 26. But you get 5 years out of Soto. You don't know what happens 5 years. He might opt out in 5 years. So you might only have five shots of the apple here. You don't know. And McNeil's 33 years old. I'm not saying they're done. They probably have 3-4 years late prime of elite baseball left. But you don't know. So they're a lot closer to sunset than you think. And I know that's a crazy thing to say, because you don't think of them in that kind of way. But it goes fast. And I even talked to you guys, and if you think about David Wright and David Wright Day and how they had that picture, and everybody could always remember that picture of Wright and Reyes celebrating after the division in 06, the 06 NL East division. And who would have thought in a blink of an eye that we're watching the Wright number retirement ceremony, and he took 9 years later, he got back to the postseason. 9 years later. It took him 9 years from that picture of the NL East when everybody thought the Mets were going to win that year, and they were close to going to the World Series, and you figured, well, next year, you know, we got a 2-3-4-5 year run with these guys. And a lot of stuff happened. So you don't know. So sometimes, you know, you could put everything in the calculator and the trade analyzer and all that other stuff you do, but you always go for it when you have a chance responsibly. And so far, and that could change in the next 24 hours or a little less than 24 hours, Stearns has gone for it, and he's gone for it responsibly. And I can't ask for more than that. And I got to give him a ton of credit. And I am surprised, because I didn't think this was the kind of deadline he was going to have. I thought he looked at the prices. He looked at his roster. I think he was also looking to see how they played last week, and they played better. And he finally said, you know, I can't just go up and get another Phil Maton. I can't go out and find a Miami reliever like a Fauché who could come over here and maybe find lightning in a bottle. I got to get something that's a guarantee. And he went out and he got a guarantee. And if you put Clay Holmes in this bullpen, which I would consider getting an arm or even consider Paul Blackburn. With the way Holmes has been pitching lately, Paul Blackburn's not that much worse if he's healthy. Putting Holmes in that bullpen, wow. Now you got four of your top 30 relievers in baseball over the last few years and three elite closers. That's a fun thing. That's a fun thing. But we'll see. So what's next? You know, it's funny. I was going to just do a review over on Beyond the Mic of the Rodgers trade. I was starting to write it up. And I said, let me just go check something. And I see a tweet. Well, Helsley on the bullpen with, you know, Rodgers. I'm like, wait, they got Helsley? And I didn't have my phone near me. I went to my phone and it's blowing up with text. And I'm like, wow, that's why you don't put, my phone was dying. I put it on the charger. I walked away. So let me write up about Rodgers. Because I figured a lot of the action would happen more tomorrow. Lesson learned. Don't walk in this business. Don't walk away from your phone. So what's next? So I'm planning on doing a Twitter Spaces tomorrow. I'm thinking around 8 o'clock or so. So stay tuned. Go to X for that at Talking Mets No G on that whole thing. And definitely going to do a trade deadline recap show. Probably this show came a little sooner because of the velocity of the acquisitions and the type of acquisitions they are. So I might be repeating myself, but it also kind of give me a chance to figure out, you know, maybe I do something a little bit different, you know, get a guest or something. I'm not sure yet. So stay tuned. And then, of course, there's always Beyond the Mic and things like that. So anyway, I want to thank everybody for tuning in for this emergency program. Of course, you could check me out all the time at thetalkingmetspodcast.com. You get me on X at TalkingMetsNoG and on your favorite podcasting service, Apple, Spotify, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to interact with me, Mike Silva at TalkingMetsPodcast.com. No G, Mike Silva at TalkingMetsPodcast.com. You get me on Instagram, TalkingMetsNoG, and I'd love for you to subscribe to the newsletter, Substack.com/@TalkingMetsNoG. And I want to thank the good folks of the Fansided Podcasting Network for supporting the show. I'm yours, Mike Silva. Enjoy the trade deadline. Stay tuned. I think there's more to come. We'll be back. When the news comes, we'll be back. Till then, take care, everybody. Meet the Mets. Head for the